Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings. Shalom, this is Officer Nathaniel Ben Israel. Today, the April 19th, 2013. Excuse me, April 18th, 2013. This is Come Out of Her, My People Outreach Program, designed for the sole purpose of edification and causing a scenario where our brothers from all over this said planet will unite under one banner, one nation, the kingdom of heaven and earth, right here on earth. I have with me Officer Bartholomew Ben Israel. Are you there, brother?
Shalom, shalom, shalom. How are we doing this evening?
Well, brother, well, thank you for being so prompt and on time and so we can get this thing going. Brother Lynn, are you with us, brother?
Eve of Shabbat.
Oh, brother, is that you, brother?
This is brother Lynn.
Shalom, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. I'm glad to be sharing this Erev Shabbat with you all. Couldn't think of a better place to be.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, family, the title of the show today, My Brother is Sick, and He Has No Clue. My brother is sick, he has no clue. My brother's been sick for a while. Everyone knows it but him. He is in desperate need of status civitas. All right? I'm going to get into that subject shortly. I want to first give the brother Dayag, who you all just heard, a very spiritual brother, very uplifting brother. His music is at the right frequency that we need as a people to rise. The Most High is definitely dealing with that brother in the way that he puts that music together. So I want to give him, his camp, his congregation, his brothers a shout-out and what they're doing to wake our people up. Before we go ahead and get into the topic, I'm going to go ahead and yield to our officer, Bartholomew, for some current events, and we're going to also speak with our brother, Lynn, on some current events. So at this time, I'll go ahead and yield the floor to you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, yes, indeed, our brother is very sick. As a body of people, as a nation of people, we are definitely sick. But there is healing in our future. And it's important that we speak on these type of issues because in order for us to come out of this condition, we have to acknowledge this condition. So I do have a current event, a news article. It's pretty big, so bear with me. But it's important that I read this because it's not coming from our voice. It's coming from others' voices that are extremely concerned about what's happening with our people. And that's a good thing because it shows that we're all seeing the same thing. And it's on our conscience that we need to improve our condition. And that's beautiful because now that we're aware of our condition and we start to find ways to improve our condition, we will have results that are beautiful, that are positive, that will strengthen us as a nation of people. So this article that I'm reading from is the Washington Informant. Big spenders, small investors, blacks have little to show for hard-earned dollars. This article was written by Stacey M. Brown, and it was published 9/18/2013. Now, as we are going into 2014, we can only expect for the same results because, again, we have not changed our condition. But change is coming. If Black America is counted as an independent country, its worth would be ranked 11th in the world. Hopefully everyone heard that. Our wealth would be ranked 11th in the world. However, African Americans continue to squander their vast spending power, regulating blacks to economic slavery instead of financial freedom, according to several consumer reports detailing the use of cash in the black community. There is no way we should have to beg for anything with all the resources we enjoy, said journalist A. Peter Bailey, a Southwest Washington, D.C. resident, former Ebony Magazine editor and author of Witnessing Brother Malcolm X, the Master Teacher. It is unthinkable today that we would find ourselves going hat in hand to anyone, said Bailey, who is 75 years old at this moment. African American consistently outpaced the total market population in overall growth, smartphone ownership, television viewing, annual shopping trips, according to the new study, Resilient, Receptive, Relevant, the African American Consumer 2013 report, a collaborative effort by Nielsen Company in New York and the Newspaper Publisher Association, NNPA, located in Northwest Washington, D.C. The report, which will be released on Thursday, September 19th, reveals that black buying power continues to increase, rising from its current $1 trillion level to a forecasted $1.3 trillion by 2017. Despite the strong economic outlook, blacks continue to spend most of their money outside of African American communities, according to Nielsen and NNPA. Advertisers have repeatedly cited the black media spending only 3% or $2.24 billion of the $75 billion spent with all media last year. No one is going to do anything for us. However, we can flex our economic power, but we have to stop being selfish and pool our resources in order to do so, Bailey said. The Malcolm X disciple and former Howard University student said blacks should learn from the famous Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott that followed Rosa Parks' arrest when she refused to give up her seat to a white man. Now, let's pay attention here. It says, from December 5th, 1955 to December 20th, 1956, black boycotted Montgomery buses in the first large-scale demonstration against segregation in the country. The boycott also capitulated Martin Luther King Jr. in the role of the country's civil rights leader. The 381-day boycott resulted in the local bus company losing hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue as the 17,000 African Americans in the community, comprising more than 90% of its ridership, refused to patronize the bus system. Instead, black people took taxis, walked, or even rode horses, and the company lost money, Bailey said. Now, that's important that we understand, because you always hear Brother Priest tell you that we are the money. Well, what we have to understand is that, yes, indeed, we are the money. And everybody is counting on us spending. And as long as we continue to spend, everybody will grow and we will continue to fall and stay in the same condition. King understood better than anyone that civil rights, included economic rights, said Representative John Corey Jr. of Michigan, dean of the Congressional Black Caucus, who now in his 25th term in Congress, the only member ever endorsed by King. We can never truly form a more perfect union until income, wealth, opportunity are made more equal, said Coyers, which is 84. Now let me skip around. Excuse me. Each year, African Americans spend more than $47 billion on Lincoln automobiles, $3.7 billion on alcohol, $2.5 billion on Toyotas, $2 billion on athletic shoes, $600 million each year on McDonald's and other fast foods, according to Target Market News, Inc., a Chicago-based marketing research group. One moment as this page loads. Blacks also spend wildly to keep up their appearance. The black hair care cosmetic industry counts as a $9 billion a year business. But while African Americans are spending the most, they are profiting the least, said officials from the Black-owned Beauty Supply Association, which is located in California. Beauty products lines designed for African Americans were once 100% owned and operated by blacks. Today, other ethnic groups control more than 70% of the market. Another report released in May titled "The African American Financial Experience" revealed that blacks have been hurt to a great degree than any other group during the Great Recession. Now, as I go down here, we get into the homes. When most black people buy homes, we hurt ourselves economically, said Dorothy A. Brown, a professor at law at the University of Atlanta and a former special assistant to the Federal Housing Commissioner at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Southwest Washington, D.C. Home ownership has been an important vehicle in creating a solid white middle class, but it has not done the same for most black homeowners, said Brown. Officials at the Brookings Institute in Northwest Washington, D.C. said poor white neighborhoods had more home value per income than poor minority neighborhoods, and even when homeowners had similar incomes, black-owned homes were valued at 18% less than white-owned homes. The current home ownership rate reveals that 73.5% of whites own homes, while approximately 43.9% of African Americans are homeowners, according to the Harvard Joint Center for Housing Studies State of Nations report for 2013. The recent crash and subsequent rebound of the market, fiscal cliff jitters notwithstanding, show that white median net worth is down by only 16%, while black net worth is down by 50%, Brown said. This is because the stock market has significantly rebounded and compensated white losses in home equity, but blacks without comparable stock investments have not benefited. The Brookings study also reveals that while many whites are comfortable investing in stock markets, most blacks are not. 60% of Africans have less than $50,000 saved in company retirement plans, and only 23% have more than $100,000. The loyal blacks have to their churches also have proven costly. The Officials of Faith Community Today, a nonprofit-based company in Connecticut, a 2013 study revealed that black churches have collected more than $420 billion in tithes in donation nationwide since 1990, and an average of $252 million a week. We are giving to those churches, but our communities are suffering. What people fail to see and understand is that the church pastors aren't waiting for miracles to fund their lifestyle. They don't have to pray day in and day out to make their ends meet, says Southwest resident and author Byron Willard. They are getting rich off God and not from God, he said. Now, that is pretty interesting. Idolatry would get your pockets broken. Willard, whose books include the 2011 Pond Queen, noted that the money spent tithing could buy as many as 93,333 homes valued at $150,000, pay for tuition up to $15,000 a year for 933,333 college students, and feed every homeless American for a year. Excuse me for my laughter. This is just amazing. Wow. It's the best hustle on the planet. If you don't get in here on Earth, let me start over. My apologies. If you don't get it here on Earth, you would get it when you die and go to heaven, Willard said. And it just so happened that not one person in history of this planet has died, went to heaven, and came back to tell anyone that it's true. The vast majority of those contributing to large spending statistics are hardworking, mostly poor people who spend in relatively small amounts and only one time that are readily available to them, said Gerald Dell, associate professor of the communication studies at Morgan State University in Baltimore and radio host for WPFW 89.3 FM in Northwest Washington, D.C. Poverty is not the result of spending habits, but it is a well-structured plan outcome of economic system which demands that it exists. The objective reality that actually shapes our lives is in part due to the misinformation and the conclusion reached by so many prominent thinkers in our world. Precisely at a time when black unemployment is worsening and predicted to reach even further epidemic levels, we also hear of research which suggests black Americans think their lot is actually improving, he said. However, there remains one inescapable fact. When African Americans make money, they are quick to spend it, said Beyonce Watkins, a scholar and resident of entrepreneur and innovation at Syracuse University in New York. We don't use money to invest or produce, said Watkins, 42. We get our tax refund and we go straight to the store. Whew, that was a mouthful. As we can see, we are sick. You can see we are suffering from idolatry. As this normal-minded individual can see that there's no person in the sky, there's no God in the sky that is going to solve these matters, as you are convinced to give all your money to these pastors so you can get something in return besides money escaping your pockets. And it just amazes me of where our money is going, how we're spending our money. But this is all part of our sickness, because we are so sick we cannot even see what we are doing. It doesn't even make sense that we are destroying ourselves. It doesn't make sense that we are our own problem. It doesn't make sense that if we do not change our behavior, we will continue to fall and continue to suffer. These things are not logical to us. As you always hear us say, an ant has a plan when it comes to extending its existence and building. You can see animals daily understanding or displaying some form of understanding that they have to do the basics to survive and to continue to grow and to build. It's only natural that we reproduce so we can expand our bloodline or grow, period. And it's unfortunate that to the said black man that we do not comprehend these things that we are doing, and it's a clear display that we are sick, because if we were not sick, then you'd be stupid. And obviously there's a lot of intelligent individuals out here, so we are suffering from a sickness. And that's why we're in this condition. And it's just ironic that the world can see this. You know, we can't see it, but the world can see it. And I'll pass it to you, brother, so you can give some feedback on this. But it just, it's amazing.
Wow, brother. Wow, brother. Thank you for that. And it's crazy, brother. Like, every time I'm able to hear, you know, the orientation from one of these writers who written an article about our people, and it's so clear for them to be able to examine it from a commercial perspective. You know, the statistics that you just gave out, 11th in the nation, in the world's economies, 11th, and you people, you brothers and sisters who are rejecting this message that's coming from the Most High power, you're rejecting this message, and you're 11th in the world. Everybody else knows you sick, that you're sick but you. Everybody else in the world, excuse me, my temperament, brothers, but everybody else in the world knows that all you got to do is come up with something to sell these Israelites in the state of mind of heathens. Brother Lee, what you got on that, brother? What that brother
said? Oh, brother. Well, you know, first of all, I agree with everything that's being said. You know, one of the things that kind of struck me over the past couple of days in dealing with our brothers and sisters is that we're so confused about who we are as a people, to the point to where you'll have, you know, some of our brothers and sisters, you know, just argue you down to the point of becoming emotional and actually wanting to, you know, engage in uncivilized behavior with you because you try to deal with them on a point-by-point basis as far as bringing them into the knowledge of who and what we are as a people. The reason why I say that is because, you know, we have a tendency in America in particular to, you know, complain about situations in which we don't really see a lot of positive imagery with respect to our people. You know, we see a lot of negativity, and then you have, you know, the quote-unquote so-called conscious community, the so-called brothers that are out there trying to educate us on, you know, our Africanness and on being on our past from the standpoint of being, you know, kings and queens and all that's, you know, that's all well and good. But the real root issue that I want to speak on is the fact that we always want to look at the positive aspects, but we never take an unbiased look at the negative aspects. And I really feel as though, you know, spending time around the nation, it's really changed my perspective to understand that negative imagery is actually a tool, because the people that are in power that have the ability to push this negative imagery to us, they're trying to tell us a story, and we're just not having it. You know, we're just in denial, in complete denial. Nobody wants to admit that, you know, we fell into this condition because we forgot how to conduct ourselves. We don't know how to conduct ourselves, and we still don't know how to conduct ourselves as a people. You know, we talk about, you know, quote unquote, you know, our brothers and sisters out there, and they're engaging in all manners of unrighteousness. You know, whoring around, fornication, lying, you know, killing. And that's not everybody, but again, as a people, that's King Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And so this isn't a behavior that just cropped up. You know, we were doing this thing, you know, back, if you read the Old Testament, you know, we were doing this thing in ancient times. You know, we had these same behaviors. If we didn't, there would have never been, I guess, an explanation as to, or a better stated, a directive to say, hey, here are the blessings if you abide by the covenant that your forefathers made with me. You know, this is the Most High speaking, and these are going to be the curses you know, that's going to befall you if you don't abide by, you know, the covenant. And so I think that, you know, moving forward, I mean, it's definitely speaks to the fact that, you know, we're sick. We're sick on a number of levels, and we have to first start dealing with some very fundamental points with respect to taking this message to our people and getting them to understand on a point by point basis who they are in history, who they are by nationality, why they fell into why we fell into the condition that we've fallen into, and why, by and large, we've not been able to pull ourselves up out of the condition. Because if you don't know what you did wrong, you can never atone for it. You can never make it right. And so one of the you know, major blocks to that would be, you know, pushing these different ideologies, you know, trying to get the people to think that, hey, we're African, or, you know, buying into, you know, this, you know, religious point of view. I actually have an article that kind of speaks to that with respect to not knowing who we are, who we truly are, you know, from a standpoint of chip. I mean, that's one of the things that we learn in the nation. Your chip is your culture, your history, and your identity, and your pedigree. And I just want to share this because it kind of it's non-commercial, but it ties into what Brother Officer Bartholomew was just speaking on with respect to, you know, the folks, our people being out to lunch. So I'll share this with you.
Before you read that, brother, I got one question for you and the officer. And while you read it, I would like the officer to ponder it and any of the callers online. If the whole world knows, I'm just going to frankly say that these niggas is sick, okay? And with all due respect for the children that were just listening, for future listeners on the recording, my utmost apologies on the language, but the whole world knows that these niggas are sick. Is it jealousy, brothers? Are we jealous? Or is the sickness deeper? And I would like you to ponder that, Officer Bartholomew, and go ahead, Brother Lynn, on your article. And then after you're done with your article, we're going to deal with that issue, deal with some lawful issues, go into some more music, and come right back. You have the floor, Brother Lynn.
Fine, brother. All right, so here we go. Man almost divorced his wife because she now sports natural hair. Imagine the mortification and the humiliation the wife must have felt when, upon her husband walking in and seeing her natural hair for the first time, actually runs out of the house. This is precisely the scenario that unfolded, husband and wife, Maclea and Love. She looked like a totally different person, husband Maclea said defensively. The couple agreed to appear on the Steve Harvey Show to air out their grievances regarding her radical switch from weaves to natural hair and his repulsion to her kinky natural hair. We've been together 9 years. About 2-3 years ago, I decided to go natural. Not on purpose, but I had this weave in my hair, and the weave went bad. After I cut it all off, I had no choice but to wear this. The first time he saw it, he ran out the house, and then he came back in and asked if it was a wig. And if so, take it off. He wasn't very supportive of it, actually. McClee defends himself. My wife is a very beautiful woman, as you can see. But when I first met her, she had the Brazilian weave down her booty, and that's all she ever wore. When she first took it out, it was just shocking to me. I was surprised. She looked like a different person. Well, I'm over the shock. I understand that natural hair takes time. It takes time to grow out. And like I said, it's not something that I'm used to, but I wish there was more style she could do with it so it could be more appealing. something different because there's not many styles she can with her hair like this, so I just tell her that. And Steve Harvey finally interjects to bring levity and sanity to the situation. You're about to get your skull opened up, McClee. That's what's wrong with this whole thing is you can't be any more wrong with your approach. You cannot at no point in the relationship with a woman say or make them feel unattractive. You've got to find another way to express yourself because the idea behind staying happy, the big thing behind it, a lot of times is support. You've got to find another way to say what you're saying. You can't run out the house. You can't sit on the edge of the bed and look like she stayed down the street somewhere. You can't have that much gap between y'all on the couch. You've got to be a little bit more understanding that this is who you marry, and the bottom line, they have a choice. It's theirs. It ain't your damn head. All you did is put a ring on that finger. This ain't yours. You don't get her head. And plus, I want you to be able to get out of here safely because right now, the way the audience looking at you, I'm assuming there are at least 4 to 5 attempts on your life. The wife offered up that it was, in fact, her fault because she had never let her husband see her with the weave off during the entire courtship or marriage, producing the shocking reaction from him. Harvey then quelled the main madness by having models with trimmed tresses display natural looks that were appealing to the husband. So, first of all, I want to say this. I think it is ridiculous that in this day and age, you have a man that is seeing his woman, at least from the standpoint of her appearance, trying to align herself back to who she is, you know, from a genetic standpoint. I think it's appalling that you would have that sort of reaction, and it really speaks to what we're talking about with our people being sick. You know, we're in such dire straits until we can't even acknowledge the beauty in our woman being in her natural state. I mean, she actually had enough sense for whatever reason, you know, to get off of the weave and come back to, you know, the grade of hair or the consistency of hair with which the Most High created her. You know, a lot of times you'll hear, you know, people speak about, you know, the woolly hair as being, you know, kinky or nappy. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I've always pondered. Okay, well, you're saying that the hair is kinky or nappy, but who are you? I mean, at the end of the day, the Most High created that texture and that grade of hair for a reason. Nature created that. And so why would you say that there's something wrong with it? You know, why would you try to favor a outlook or a perspective that is not consistent with your natural state, you appearing in your natural state? You know, and again, I mean, I just, one, would applaud the young lady for actually pressing forward with that, you know, in spite of that situation. But it also speaks to a, you know, in my opinion, it also speaks to another ill, you know, that we have as a people at large, because, you know, the weave thing, I mean, you know, our people spend a lot of money year in and year out for the last couple of decades, you know, trying to look like, you know, other nations. And, you know, that's something that, you know, runs rampant with us. I mean, we keep these other nations, you know, we keep money, you know, flowing into their coffers, you know, by doing everything we can to not identify with ourselves in our natural state. And as we get taught in the nation, you know, a nation cannot rise any higher than its woman. But, you know, a side point to that is the woman actually, the man is actually pouring into that woman from a state of mind, consciousness, consciousness standpoint. And so how ironic is it that you have a situation that I think mimics a lot of situations, and I'll even speak to this because I've had personal experiences with this. You know, even as men, you know, sometimes when we're trying to find our way, you know, we don't have the ability to walk as men in our relationships as far as nurturing and supporting our women. This is a very in-your-face example of that. And so I think that, you know, moving forward, you know, as men, we have to actually, you know, challenge ourselves to really start working on our mind and what we actually consider beauty to be, is something other than what the Most High created us as, and how we've been created, you know, from a natural standpoint. You know, as you've heard, you know, us say for years. I mean, even the songs go back to the 60s. Black is beautiful. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us, you know, going out and, you know, getting up and walking out the house with quote unquote nappy hair. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the way you were. That's the way you were created. And with that, brother, I'll pass it back to you.
Thank you, brother. And so on point on so many levels. I mean, you know, we in this nation, we learned that, you know, we're beasts. We're walking around as beasts, the creatures. The Bible calls us the beasts, the creatures of the field. We understand that in law that is represented as well, and that to erect yourself as an upright, as one of the sons and daughters of Jacob, requires work, understanding of your commercial situation and how that has a direct effect on every circumstance that can present itself within your life. What have we done here at Tribes? What is the mission here at Tribes? Okay? Why are we telling you you don't have to be jealous of these people? Why are we telling you that you're sick? Because we've done something here that once it's understood and you brothers and sisters come on board, it will be replicated and duplicated. Brother, Officer Bartholomew, read that scripture for me, brother. Let them know what we've done here. Because it's very important to know what the outcome of this situation is going to be. The nation that is not desired, number 11, overall, in economic spending habits. Officer Bartholomew, do you have that scripture? Could you call that, please, and read that?
Isaiah 14:4-14:7. And thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how has the oppressor ceased, and the golden city ceased? The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepters of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continuing stroke, he that rules the nations in anger is prosecuted, and none here hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Back
Thank
to you, brother. What do you think
Thank
about
you,
that?
Sir. Well, like I said, we are operating under our charge, okay? Our charge, according to the Most High, is to break the staff of Babylon, of Egypt, of Sodom and Gomorrah, which this spiritually is. And the staff, we know what that means. Here at Tribes, we understand that language because that language is what controls the whole entire world. Okay, your staff is a representative of counsel, lawyers who administrate and control and ship the people who are feeding their children. The Most High has given us that ability. No reason for us to envy our oppressors. This sickness has to cease. this drunkenness without wine has to cease. Because we're drunk with wine as well, right, brother? What was the numbers on the hair products and the alcohol, brother? What was those numbers from the article?
Woo!
A lot.
A lot. Give me that when you can, just interject. But
yeah.
Proverbs 3:31 says, and it's, you know, we match here, the scriptures. We understand what's going on here. We understand our charge. And we want you all to understand that. We want you all to understand that the purpose here is to break the staff. The purpose here is to do with brothers, amongst brothers and sisters. And once we take care of us, then we can put everybody else in line lawfully. Proverbs 3:31 says, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. If we kept to that scripture, that command, would we be spending $43 billion a year on religious idols? If we didn't walk in whoredom after other nations' gods, other nations' beliefs, would we spend $43 billion a year, or was it $42 million a year, excuse me, the amount of money our women and our men are spending trying to imitate those who oppressed us? These things will not happen. The jealousy has to cease. I'm going to read a definition, and then we're going to get into the bulk of the discussion today. This is Black's Law Dictionary, 7th edition, page 181. Boycott, noun, an action designed to achieve the social or economic isolation of an adversary. See, you all talk bad on these brothers who came before us, like they didn't give us things that we could use. But yet you're jealous of your oppressor. You want to drive in a Benz like your oppressor. You want to dress like your oppressor, but you don't know what your oppressor has planned for you. I want you guys to think about that. I'm going to go to some music.
Excuse me, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
Pertaining to the hair and cosmetics, we're spending around $9 billion a year.
$9 billion a year.
And that's only a majority of that is to look like someone that we are not, because we are so sick we can't look in the mirror and love whom we are. And when Brother Lynn read that article, to me, you kind of got to look at it from both sides. Was it the fact that he ran out of that house because when he saw that he had a natural black woman, he was frightened? Or was it the fact that for probably the whole relationship that they were in, he fell in love with the woman with the long hair? And the first time he had the opportunity to see her, it was so shocking that he didn't know, that was just his reaction. Now, maybe he's a funny guy, and, if they're on talk shows, they're probably, he's probably a funny guy, and that's why they would bring their relationship into the public like that, But it brings me to an experience that I experienced, and I will tell you a little bit about that, was courting a woman for quite some time, and myself, I was in the same experience. I fell in love with her, and she always had weave in her hair. And she always looked great with that weave. And eventually that weave became her. It became a part of her. There was not a moment I didn't see her with that weave. And there was a moment when I walked into the house and I saw her, and her hair was so short, she looked like my brother. It was shocking to me. And that's the moment I hated weave. And I told myself, I would never mess with a woman who wears weave. I would prefer to meet you with short hair and to know what you look like and appreciate what you look like, love you for who you are, than to get the surprise that who I've been in love with isn't that individual. It made me feel like she was fake. It made me feel like she didn't love herself. It made me feel like, in a sense, like I was getting, like I've been bamboozled, because what I thought she looked like, she did not look like. And so when I put this gentleman into that position, I could kind of see where, you know, he was shocked. And not that he didn't love her for her natural her, but he never knew her natural her, so there's no way he could ever love her for her natural her, because he never knew that. So a lot of times you have women who don't love themselves enough to be the natural her. And that's wrong also. And that's a part of the sickness. Like, we are blessed, we are beautiful, we look great. There's no reason why we should be trying to have the image of our oppressor or another nationality. You know, if you go around the world, like we've learned, these people in higher positions, popes and so forth, they worship a black Madonna that had curly hair, that looked like that natural sister. And she's beautiful, and so is our natural sister. But then, because we don't know who we are, we go and try to look like them when they're worshiping someone that looks like you. That's all a part of not having that identity, not knowing who you are, and not appreciating and loving who you are. And, you know, I just wanted to press on that issue, my brother. And I yield.
Why should I be changed? Joy comes in the morning light.
Yeah.
Joy comes in the morning light.
Yeah. I admit it that I got jealous when I came across my fella on the YouTube, and I seen all his views, and I'm like, dude, that very well could have been you. For a quick second, must have lost my mind. Everything that I'm pressing, rewind. Only move forward ahead of time. Only push towards my peace of mind. Couldn't sell my soul for 9 billion tax-free cash dollars stacked to the ceiling. So how could I be living knowing what I'm doing is wrong? So wrong. From generation to generation, perpetual of the ignorance is ignorant. This is why I'm belligerent. To preserve the look is innocence. Cause innocence, they serve they got and I serve mine. I can't deal with that logically, so I'd rather deal with my poverty. So
why should I be changed? Why should I be changed? Joy comes in the morning light. Joy comes in the morning light.
Used to walk like that, used to walk like that, used to talk like that, used to talk like that, used to be like that, used to be like that, yeah, I was like that, yeah, I was like that, used to walk like that, used to walk like that, used to talk like that, used to talk like that, used to be like that, used to be like that, yeah, I was like that, yeah, I was like that. I wanted the money, I wanted the women. I just had to have it all, all. But the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the greed of the heart. Is this never fool? So what is the answer to this cancer that's eating us alive? Could it be any more obvious that we need the Most High? Put down the lies, lies, and step away slowly. Put down the lies, lies, and place your hands where I can see. You're under arrest.
Why should I be chained? Comes in the morning light. Joy comes in the morning light.
Amen. Man, the brother got talent, man. The brother is hitting those, putting us right where we need to be, understanding what the goal is to erase this jealousy, this sickness, this lack of loving our brothers that we can see with our eyes. The brothers that we can see every single day, the sisters that we can see every day, the sisters that live in the home with us, the sisters that are creating the next generation of warriors and leaders and ones who are going to sit in the office of government of the theocracy of the Most High. Much honors and, you know, respect to the brother and what he's doing. We're jealous. We're jealous because we're sick. We're sick because we transgressed the law of the Most High Creator. We are failing to see that we are sick because we are in a delusional state that this could somehow be the doing of something other than our neglect of our responsibility. You know, we want to point fingers at everything else, but the numbers don't lie. You know, I hate to quote Jay-Z, but men lie, women lie, numbers don't. And when you're 11th in the nation in the world economically, just putting that on the ground for it. When you're in that position and you're spending that much money, you're doing that much commerce in the names of your enemies, and you're striving to look like your oppressors, one must ask, is this jealousy? Is this envy or is this something else? And I say the sickness, brothers and sisters, is not rooted in jealousy. The sickness is rooted in law, government, and commerce. Because you have no ability to get anything. You have no ability to hold on to anything because you are less than man in your current condition. You are less than those who you are employed with on a daily, because you do not know yourself. And you want to give every reason in the world not to come back to your nationality, not to come back to your culture, history, identity, and pedigree, as we teach at this nation. The status civitas. We'll start with a definition. Capitis diminutio. You've heard this before. You've heard us speak of this definition. Well, let's get into the bulk of what we're missing as a people. Capitis diminutio is the destruction of the caput, or the legal personality. Capitis diminutio, so to speak, wipes out the former individual and puts a new one in his place. And between the new individual, there is, legally speaking, nothing in common. A juristic personality may be thus destroyed in one of three ways. One, by loss of status libertarius, this is the capitis diminutio maxima. 2 by Los Estatus Civitas. This is the Capitus Diminutio Media. Now, there's 3 levels of this Capitus Diminutio. When we go into the word status, we have to understand this. I'm just going to give a personal account of what happened to me recently. You know, in this nation, we have a protocol of how we get out of this beast. There's certain things that we must do so that we will be presentable to the public, to the world, and that we can operate privately within our Father's law. Now, status according to law, and we can find this, excuse me, bear with me, page 1,419. Excuse me, let me get there. If one of your brothers get there first, then you can read. Now, I went before a court. Before I went before a court, I spoke to a representative of the court, and I informed the representative that not only would I be handling my own affairs, but that I do not subscribe to labels such as Negro, colored, African-American, blase, blase. We hear this on this line all the time. We hear this language. We understand these labels. The representative of the so-called debt collectors told me that that really doesn't matter. So my rebuttal to that, well, status matters, doesn't it? And the individual said, yes, but the court is really secretive about that. Okay? This is what was told to me, live and live in color.
And brother, let me get status for you.
Go ahead, brother.
According to the Black Law Dictionary, 7th edition, status, a person's legal condition, whether personal or proprietary, the sum total of a person's legal right, duties, liabilities, and other legal relations, or any particular group of them separately considered, the status of a landowner, for example. We also need to understand what a person is. A person is a corporation, an entity. So you see,
thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Oh, no, go ahead, go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, I'm just going to just, you know, make note to the public that in your dealings in today's society, you would never, in your wildest dream, be referred to as people or flesh and blood living souls.
Exactly. Definitely.
You have the place and the capacity of a corporation so they can deal with you properly as they would deal with any corporation. Control you like they would control any corporation, and conclude of your existence no different than they will conclude a corporation, dissolve a corporation. So we need to understand, and even in the Bible, your 1611 King James, you see the word persons all through there. Commerce. Back to you, brother.
Okay, thank you, brother. So the second part of the title is Civitas. Now, Civitas is Latin, Roman law, 1, a state, a group of people living under a given body of law. See, this is what we're missing. We're not missing the ability to make money. Okay? We're missing the legal personality encoded within a body of law given to us by a theocracy. There is no excuse other than you refuse to do what is required of you. Brother Lynn, what do you got on that, brother?
Shalom, brother. Again, I mean, it just speaks to the fact that, you know, our people are suffering from a mental illness. You know, one of the things that I thought about, you know, as to kind of tie together what we were speaking on earlier with respect to imagery and law, is the fact that, you know, the scripture that you spoke about initially, that was saying, envy not your oppressors, I wanted to add something to that. So in Mark 12:17, I think we have all heard this before. Mark 12:17, and Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. And so when I think about that, and I think about not envying the oppressor, you know, one of the things that, you know, we hold on to, in addition to this imagery of foreign language, foreign nations that we try to emulate down to the point of, you know, even looking like them, you know, you can't say too much about, you know, idol God worship, and you can't, you know, say too much about, you know, Jesus Christ, because if you start going down that path, you know, you're going to get some very hostile feedback from our brothers and sisters. You know, but if you think about that, it takes me to another law term. You know, we always talk about names. And we learn in the nation that name comes from nam, which means a distraining of property. Well, Jesus Christ is actually the property, if you think about it, it's actually the property of Greeks. Whereas the name that we actually know that prophet by from a Hebrew standpoint would be the property of the Most High. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we go through a specific protocol that has to do with actually shedding that name. But, you know, when I think about that, you're never going to get the common layperson that is walking around and comfortable with their life circumstance that they've been afforded from idolatry. You're never going to get them to come to a lawful understanding of why what they're doing isn't consistent with what our people should be doing, or it isn't consistent with what, you know, the tenets of theocratic government, you know, would have us do. Because as soon as we come into that knowledge, you know, from a lawful standing, you know, you do everything you can to shun that idolatry and that relationship to that image, and come back to these laws, statutes, and commandments. And that's all I had to say on that, brother.
Well, brothers, I have a question for both of you. Tell me what you think about this. If there's no problem, then there's not a problem. Now, I bring this phrase up because, you know, I see another condition that we're in. If there's not a problem, then there's not a problem. And at one point, you had brothers like King and Marcus Garvey, and I will stop right there because we all are aware of those two individuals. But there was a reason then. You know, we went from a very brutal transatlantic slave trade. It was brutal. There's no excuse for it. Hangings, lynchings, raping, just everything you could think of that was just not right, it was being done. To a very rough and abusive segregation. And it was to the point, and I can only imagine that it was to the point where if we do not do something about this, like I can only imagine, like, some were maybe forced to just have to do something because they couldn't continue that abuse. It was either do something or just hang myself. And, you know, I'm just, you know, it was brutal. The pictures, the videos, it's just, I can't even take it to watch it. And I'm not going through it, so I can only be sympathetic and have a large amount of empathy for those who went through it. And they had a reason. And they prevailed when they fought for the rights of inequality and equal rights and things of that nature. And, you know, all praises to the Most High, as, you know, they did see large amounts of success. So they go from there to now we're in a position where brothers got Bentleys. Brothers got $1,000 True Religion jeans. Brothers can say the corniest rap and make $1 million. People are not struggling. They shifted their aim. Instead of segregating the mind and the body, let's give them what they want. And so much of it where they think they're free and we can oppress them as taxpayers. We can put them in bond servitude as taxpayers. We can have them pay our debts as taxpayers. Another form of slavery, another form of bond servitude, but with the Bentley and the tinted windows, there ain't no problem. There ain't no problem. What you think about that, brother?
Brother, you're right on point. The stats that you read earlier in the article provide evidence to that statement that you just made. They've opened the floodgates of commerce and allowed us to indulge. You know, but that's all they did. They opened us up to contracting when that's what was taken from us. That was our superior ability. Our superior ability was not running a 4.3 or 4.1 for that matter. Our superior ability was not how many jump shots you can make in a row or how far from the outside of the box can you dunk or what type of dunk you can do or how many tennis balls you can hit. You know, our ability lied in the courtroom. You know, our ability lied in our, you know, our awareness of the procedures of lawsuits and how to defend and how to answer a complaint, you know, and then request full disclosure on paper, you know. And that's what was taken from us, you know. And because that was taken from us, we didn't understand the ramifications of contracting without those fundamentals. Okay, Isaiah 28:15 says that we made a contract with Satan, with death, you know, and it's so evident in those numbers. I can't help but keep going back to those numbers. And you know, another thing is that because of our sickness and the self-hatred towards our brothers and the loving of our oppressors, you know, we've become to live like the very beast that we considered foreigners during the time of our rule. You know, we considered them foreigners and we considered them to walk in a state of behavior and mind, state of mind consciousness. I want to read the scripture. This is 2 Ezra chapter 8, verse 28. Think not upon those that have walked fangly before thee, but remember them which according to thy will have known thy fear. Let it not be thy will to destroy them which have lived like beasts, but to look upon them that have clearly taught the law. Take thou no indignation at them which are deemed worse than beasts, but love them that always put their trust in the righteousness and glory. Okay? See, our sickness has brought us to believing that it's okay that the money that we make doesn't rotate amongst our people. And we carelessly and we so lackadaisically every single day go to Target, Sears, these different stores, these different commercial outlets and spend with our oppressors. And they smile in our face because they know something that you don't know. They know that you're sick and you've been sick for a while. And you're sick because you have no foundation. You have no brotherhood. You have no sisterhood. You don't have somebody to go the extra mile for you. And you don't have that because the Most High power of the nation of Israel took that from you and gave you foolishness. And now you sit back and you argue amongst each other about who's the greater God. Who's the greater people? You know, these things are humorous at best. Humorous at best. Brother Lynn, what do you got, brother?
Shalom, brother. Yeah, you know, I just like to say that, you know, with respect to, you know, the commerce situation, you know, we have to think that the only part we play in the supply chains of most of the corporations in this country, the only part we really play is that of the end game, and that is as consumers. You know, we don't have, you know, by and large, we don't participate, you know, in any of the businesses that would cause us to actually control a means of production. And because of that, you know, there really is no alternative at this point in time for our people, you know, to actually go out and have a choice. You know, because the whole thing, you know, about collective economics is that, you know, you have a community and that the financial resources within that community circle around so many times before it leaves. You know, and this is, you know, one of the things that, you know, just kind of, you know, no disrespect to, you know, our brothers and sisters, you know, our forefathers that, you know, brought us through the civil rights era. But, you know, in my opinion, integration is one of the worst things that ever happened to us. You know, and the reason I say that is because prior to that, if we didn't have anything to depend on, we could depend on one another. And during that period of time, you know, black businesses flourished. And so you had, you know, options, you know, when you wanted to, when you needed things, you know, from a household standpoint, you had, you know, options, you know, from the perspective of builders, you know, actually coming in and constructing your neighborhood. We don't have that anymore. And so as a part of our, you know, long-term healing, you know, we have to come back, you know, to the mindset of being, you know, offerers. We have to come back to the mindset of being creditors and not be comfortable, you know, being a debtor. And to do that, you know, we got to wake up and come back to these law, statutes, and commandments, you know, first and foremost. Stop, you know, dealing in trick language. You know, one of the points that you made earlier with respect to status, you know, over the, you know, last 30, 40 years, you know, we, as so-called black people, we identify with these terms that, you know, have been impressed upon us, you know, by our scholars, you know, African-American, you know, color, black, Negro, and, you know, even now, you know, to try to, you know, educate some of us on the fact that, you know, black has nothing to do with your nationality. It's not a nationality. It has nothing to do with your, you know, identity. It has nothing to do with it doesn't denote a people. You know, you'll have, you know, individuals that will argue you down by that, but then those same individuals will turn around and they'll complain about why they're not getting any justice in the courts. Well, how are you going to get justice in the courts when you're speaking one language and then the folks that are moderating the court are speaking a different language? You know, it's ambiguous. You know, you think that black is everything but what it is. And so, you know, I just say, you know, we really have to do, you know, a better job at trying to deal with not abstractions and not deal with trick language, but actually deal with the language of law. Everything is going to come back to that. And that understanding is actually going to work for us as a people to elevate us and bring us out of this condition collectively. You know, because it's one thing, you know, for, you know, one brother to you know, based on what society would have you believe, you know, it's one thing for a brother to get to a point and say, well, you know, I'm successful. Yeah, okay, you're successful, but your brother's over there struggling. You know, and the thing is that, you know, the benefits of theocratic government, the benefits and the inheritance of nationality, you can't experience that as an individual. You got to experience that as a collective. And I yield, brother.
But that's very ironic that you say that, because again, we are just so sick. So sick to believe that your Bentley, your several trips around the world to nice islands and vacations, and your ability not to have to stress because you're in a financial situation is better than you collectively building with a body of people, which you will get that times 10, but generations and generations to come. How it's just amazing that one can think what they can do as an individual can surpass a collective or collaborative approach towards economics. And that's just another sickness that we have as a body of people. But when it's all said and done, we have to come out this condition, because tomorrow is greater if we unify. You know, this has been on my mind. I sleep, I wake up, and I'm just thinking, what do we have to do to just unify? Just saying, hey, I want to be the brother, I want to be the sister that contributes to us growing. I'm sick of complaining. I'm sick of relying on another entity to feed my babies. I'm sick of complaining of what's in the food. I'm sick of complaining about what they're teaching my child in school. I'm sick of just pointing the finger. Self-government is your issue. We fell into our condition when we went away from the law. And people can't see that the remedy is coming back to the law. Everybody talks about, well, if we do this, then they're gonna do what happened in Black Wall Street, or what they did to the Black Panthers, or what they did to all these groups that tried to do that. Well, what people don't understand is they had a million-man march minus government law and commerce. They had a million brothers minus the law. They had guns. And this, And as courageous as the Black Panthers were, and as much as they did achieve, they were minus the law, the government, because they were all persons. They were all subjects. They were all property of this beast. How far do you think you will get? How much do you think you will gain as a person of this beast, property of Babylon, property of the United States of America? You're not going to gain nothing. And that's
I don't want to cut you short, bro. I just want to let you know, got about 31 seconds, we got to get ready to close out.
All right, well, I would just sum it up and say, our only remedy is self-government and separation from this beast. Come out of her, my people, and I yield to you, brother.
Okay, brothers. 1 John chapter 3, verse, start at 9, read down to 17. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth his brother, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was the first wicked one, and slew his brother, and whereof slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brothers, the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And he know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Excuse me. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother has need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. This is the ultimate message, brothers and sisters. This is what we look to accomplish, for brothers to unify. We'll unify with our brothers. We don't care what you call the name of the Most High. As long as you know that there is a Most High and there's one Creator, and that we need to come together and do this as a people. From the highest of the highest to the lowest to the lowest. It's time to change. It's time to accept the way of the Creator, the way that He told us to operate together. Excuse my background. It's time for us, brothers and sisters, to put away our own personal beliefs and welcome your brothers in. With that, the sun's going down. Shabbat, Shalom. It will end with a little tune by the brother Jayad. Peace and blessings.
Imagine scriptures, my enthusiasm, shake off my combatants, keep my my balance through my challenges. Blow, shooting at them, I don't think that they can handle this. Attacking they distractions with the highest closed caption. Let it see, watch them push them.